Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all the testimonies. I thank you again for the entrance of your word, gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, therefore, O Lord, let that light shine our hearts as always in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to just follow the trend that we've been going the last few days on building our most fully faith. Today, I want to talk about faith and wisdom for just a few minutes, and then we'll wrap up. We might wrap up this series, and I'll go back to some other things that I've been wanting to teach. So faith and wisdom. You know, we have talked faith upside down, sideways, every which way the last few weeks. And I want to just bring in and balance up with wisdom, you know, just for a few minutes. You know, faith, as you know, is an amazing thing that we must all have. Without it, we cannot please God. Well, wisdom, as you know, is an amazing thing which we must all have. Without it, you really can't get ahead, because wisdom is the principal thing, you know, and with all you're getting, you need to get understanding as well. Proverbs 4:7 tells you about wisdom. I'm not going to preach another wisdom series today. I have taught that at least twice on this platform, and if you didn't hear it, you know, you should really hear that series, because it's quite something. But I want to let us know that faith we must have, and wisdom we must have. And you can't have one without the other. And it's not like one is not against the other. I've heard someone say one time that people are always talking faith, faith, faith. Now, what about wisdom? That is just all about wisdom. And I said, no, it's not just about wisdom. It's about faith and wisdom. And it's not just about wisdom. It's about wisdom and faith. You know, and everything else that's in the Bible too. You can't just pick one thing. You know, so there are times that you must use your faith. There are times when you must use your faith along with wisdom. You know, and I taught one lesson several months ago called Faith for Your Healing and Wisdom for Your Health. You know, so along the same lines. But I'm not just talking about healing and health today. I'm talking about everything. Anything that we need faith for, we also must use wisdom. You know, you don't want to be reckless with your faith. Even though, you know, I like to think of myself as, you know, someone that can use great abandon when it comes to faith. I mean, I just believe God for everything. I don't care what it is. Just believe God. You know, at the same time, I've learned, you know, to temper some things with wisdom. And I'm not talking about, you know, fleshly wisdom or any such thing. I'm talking about wisdom that is from above, especially that's from the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that keeps you from trouble. The wisdom I want to talk about today comes from the Holy Spirit, and it gives you instruction. That's the kind of wisdom I want to talk about. Not just, oh, I'm wise, I know how to do this and so on. No, the wisdom of this world, God takes them as nothing. Causes the wisdom of this world to perish, and takes the wisdom of this world, causes the foolishness to God. You know, so, but I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit gives you instruction, and that actually gives you an advantage over any situation. And, you know, and you have faith. And you see, you can't. This, you know, the part that I want to speak today is the faith and wisdom, how they work together. Because you can't, you know, it's not one or the other. Let's consider an example, a good example, which I like to use. In the case of a farmer, I mean, someone that farms for a living, you know. And, you know, we can't really do without these farmers. You know, many of us go to, you know, to market and supermarkets and groceries and buy up all these things. We don't think about it, but there's people that raise those things. You know, all the tomatoes, the veggies and everything that you buy. You know, some people, that's their, you know, that's all they do, is to get those things to the markets. You know, so, and they can't, you know, if they don't have a plenty, there may be times they don't have a plentiful harvest. Sometimes they will. And if they don't know how to preserve those things, you know, sometimes some, you know, there's been technologies, you know, that designed to build silos that can keep those things so that, you know, in the months when there are no produce, you can still get some. But, you know, in some rural places, they just got to depend on what they can have, you know. And so if you think of faith and wisdom in such circumstances, you can't just have faith without using wisdom. I can't say, let's say I'm a farmer, I want to, you know, plow the field and, you know, sow for the new season. You know, planting season is here. I cannot just say, by faith, you know, all the crops are going to be good. Well, you know, I got to go out there and plow the ground. That's wisdom. Wisdom would tell me that I got to go out there and plow the ground. I got to get prepare the place for the planting season. I got to go out there and get, you know, break up the fallow ground. That's what the scripture says. You know, you got to go do it. Break up your fallow ground. You know, break the thing up. Get rid of all the weed and everything. And so on. And, you know, fertilize the ground, do whatever you need to do, make sure it's ready for planting. You know, all of that is wisdom, you know. And then when you plant, you still got to do some things. There's things that you got to do to nurture the thing throughout the season, you know. And all of that is wisdom. If you don't know how, you're just going to suffer great losses, you know. So, you know, some people need training to do that well. You know, all of that is wisdom. But at the end of the day, you know, even though when you've done all of that, you know, if God doesn't send rain, the wisdom's not going to get you anywhere. You know, so there'll be people that are waiting for, and it's just dry year after year, and their crops just dry. I mean, die because they don't have rain. And sometimes you have too much rain, it destroys everything. Sometimes you have not enough rain, you don't get enough crop, you know, and all of that, you know. To get the right amount of rain that you need for the, you know, harvesting season and things like that, you got to use faith. You got to have faith. You know, otherwise you're going to have to do the, well, you got to go through the irrigations and so forth. And that's wisdom too. If the rain, water is not, rain's not coming. So you see how you have to balance it. You, yeah, you use the wisdom to prepare, but you have to trust God for the rain. That's faith. You got to, you know, use both. And even when you have the right amount of, you've used the right amount of wisdom, you use the right amount of faith and everything, it's still going to take God to give you a bountiful harvest. You know, it may just so be that the, you know, the fields are yielding nothing, you know, no matter what you do. Again, you need faith for that. You know, so when you put it all together, it comes out beautifully. You use your faith, you also use your wisdom. Now, you know, sometimes you got to also be careful. You know, don't let overmuch wisdom get in the way of your faith. You know, the writer of the book of Proverbs, he said that, be not overmuch wise. Don't let it get in the way of your faith. You know, because sometimes, you know, people got to do research on everything and become paranoid, and it gets in the way of faith. It's good to have wisdom, to know what's going on. You know, if doctors diagnose some sickness, or you get some, you do your medical checkup, or you get some sickness and report and so on. You know, it's good to use wisdom to figure out some things and try to know, you know, what you are dealing with, and do some, a little bit of research to know what you are dealing with and so forth. But when you get over much of it, some people actually become paranoid. You know, you learn too much of this stuff, you have no more faith at all. You know, and I know that some people that work in the medical field, they got to be really careful because they see this stuff all the time. It's so hard for them to even have any faith. You know, you just, it is what it is. Just call it the way it is. You know, so you got to be careful with that. Knowledge, you know, that's not driven by the Holy Spirit may become negative. It's not really wisdom at that point. It's just knowledge. You acquire all this knowledge and it may actually work to your disadvantage if you are not careful, because you become so paranoid, you know too much, and you don't, you know, believe in faith anymore just because you know that the thing is so bad. Well, that's where faith comes in. Faith says, well, I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care what the science and the books and the knowledge is telling me. You know, I know that God is able, you know, so faith comes in. And when you have real wisdom, real wisdom from the Lord, you take knowledge and turn it into a gem. That's right. That's the application of knowledge, you know, especially when driven by the Holy Spirit, is what's called divine wisdom. Now, we can have that knowledge, read in the books, understand all these things, And if you don't know how to use that knowledge right, it might actually become a stumbling block. Because now you know so much stuff, and you know that if you do this stuff and you have this stuff, then there's really no cure. You know, all you have is this and that. They can manage it, but there's no cure. You know, the science and knowledge will tell you all of that. You know, then where does faith come in? Well, when faith kicks in, you'll remember that, yeah, those things may be so, but God is beyond all those things. You know, so you got to balance everything out. Let's talk about students, for instance. Where's faith and wisdom come into play? Well, you got to have faith that God's going to help you, you know, through your, you know, learning and so forth. But you can't just sit there and have faith and not study. That's not going to work. You know, I remember, you know, one time when I was a young man trying to go to university the first time, there was a man of God who was in the same university. They were also young, just a few years older than me. I passed on. They were a few years ahead. And, you know, this man used to tell us in the fellowships then how he would believe the Lord and God would show him things and so on. And he was really, he was a smart guy. He came out in the university then with first class in mathematics or whatever. And he was telling us how he spent his whole time. And we know how he used to spend his whole time casting out devils, going from one place to the other. And they were our mentors in those days. I was a very young man. And, you know, so, I mean, some people thought they could just follow that, but they made shipwreck. That's what the Bible calls making shipwreck of your faith. One day when I have more time, I'll talk about that. They made shipwreck. Because what worked for that guy didn't work for them. They didn't study. They were just trying to do things and go to the exam and believe God will show you a vision and you see all the questions and answers. It didn't work, you know, so. Stuff like that doesn't always work. The Lord will tell you. The Lord will guide you. If the Lord wants you to do that. And God's given me great answers to things that I didn't know when I was in college here at ASU here for my master's. You know, that's when my inspiration of the Almighty kicked in. I've had projects that we needed to do. I had no clue. You know, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, they gave us a book, a big book. I didn't have time to read all the book, figure out the answers. But I figured it out by the help of the Holy Spirit. He showed me the places. That stuff works, but not all the time. Not every single time. You got to depend on that. I still did my due diligence, you know, but I came up short. When I came up short, I asked the Lord. And the Lord just dropped the light and I would just open up the book and boom, I'd find it. And, you know, before I knew it, I mean, I had so much information and I actually cut my partner loose because the professor said, you know, we can do two by two for projects or you can go solo. So he assigned pairs and I had a guy who was my pair. If you went solo, you'd actually score more points. But he advised you to not go solo because the project was really hard. And there were some things we had to do. And when the inspiration of the Almighty hit me, I caught the other guy loose. I just caught him loose, you know, so I could score more points on my own, you know. And I went to the instructor. I said, I want to go solo now. He said, you sure? I said, yeah. The other guy was saying, why? You know, let's walk together. I said, no. And sometimes you got to say no. And I said, no, because then all of a sudden, this light bulb went up in my head. And I was I knew so much stuff that I didn't know just a day or two before. And it was just incredible. And I said, I want to go solo. And I did. And I aced that class, you know. But that's not always. It doesn't always work like that, so you got to use your faith. I had tremendous faith there. I also had inspiration of the Almighty, you know, but when the inspiration of the Almighty is not there and wisdom was kicking, and you got to do what you got to do. You know, there's light and darkness all the time. You can't, you're not always going to have light. It's not going to be so, at least on this part of the new heavens and the new earth. You know, so on this side, you're going to have night and day. And I've noticed that even from the beginning, when God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he actually left the darkness in place, gave it a name. He called it night. He gave the light a name, called it day. And he left two of them side by side. He could have abolished darkness, but he didn't. He actually gave a name to the darkness, which means there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for all these cycles. And you'll find that in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. There's always going to be prosperity and adversity. Those are cycles that you cannot break. You know, you're not going to always, it's not always going to be, you know, on top of the mountain. Sometimes you're going to be down the valleys. You know, so I have learned that, look, you do the best you can. It's called in season and out of season. In season, well, you got the voice, you got the light, you got the Shekinah glory with you. And that's in season. He'll give it to you point blank. That'll be out of season sometimes. You will not hear the voice. You will not get the light. What do you do then? Well, what you do when you're out of season and apparently in darkness, you're never really truly in darkness if you're a child of the Lord, according to, you know, John chapter 8 and verse 12. You know, he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But it'll seem like you're in darkness because you can't hear the voice of God. You can't get any direction. You know, God's voice just not there. Well, what do you do when you're in that situation? Well, you remember what he told you when you were in the light. So that's faith and wisdom working together. You know, sometimes it's point blank. He's there and it's leading you. Sometimes he's not there. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance what he already told you in the days when you were in the light. When you are down in the valley and it seems like no way to go, but you know you got to climb that mountain. How do you get out of there? Well, maybe you use faith. Maybe you use wisdom. You know, if the mountain won't move, you know, your faith will not move the mountain sometimes. Then you got to use wisdom to get around it. And say, look, yeah, I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to move this mountain. You speak to the mountain. That mountain doesn't move. Then what are you going to do? You know, are you going to quit and say, well, God's word is not true? Because he said, I should speak to the mountain will move, and the mountain didn't move. What do you do? Then you kick it into gear of wisdom. And you find knowledge, you find understanding, you sometimes witty inventions also. You know, you got to come up with discoveries. You know, some people say, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, you come up with, you know, plan B or plan C or whatever. You know, if the mountain can't, you know, scale the mountain, then find a way around it. You know, so one way or another, you're going to get to where you're going. You're not going to let some mountain stop you. You know, that's my posture all the time. You know, what do you see when there is a roadblock? It could be a roadblock. It could be a hurdle. You know, so some people, it's a roadblock. There's nowhere to go. For me, it's a hurdle. I'm going to get around it somehow. You know, just jump over it, get around it, knock it down or whatever. I don't care, but it's not stopping me. I mean, it's like, look, you know, when you drive down the road, sometimes you'll see them doing construction and they call it, you know, roadblock or something. And, you know, sometimes they'll put a sign for a detour. You know, that's where your wisdom and your knowledge comes along. You got to use, you know, find the detour. We just came from a trip. So assuming that when we were trying to get to the airport, the road was blocked. Are we going to just stay there and say the road is blocked, so I'm not going anywhere? Of course not. Road's blocked. You're going to find another way. You at least try to find another way. That's what most people do. You're not just going to be stopped just because there's a roadblock. You're going to find another way. Now, here's where knowledge and wisdom comes into play. You know, you could have gotten a traffic report before you started out that route 51 or whatever highway, this or that, is blocked, traffic jam and so forth. You know, and then by wisdom, because you have knowledge, it gives you an advantage that route is blocked. Then you try to find another route. Well, if you don't have the knowledge because you did not listen to the news or you didn't check out the information, then you just go head into that thing and you're trapped in that thing for hours. You know, that's where lack of wisdom and lack of knowledge cause people to perish. You read that in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, so if you don't have knowledge, you know, that's why it's good for you. Not only you have faith, you use wisdom. You're making preparation for a trip. You're believing God, everything's going to be well. But you use your wisdom. You do your weather check. You do your this, you do your that. You get your skill, you weigh your bags. You're not just going to use faith that your bags are going to be fine. No, they're not going to be fine. You're going to get a scale. You're going to weigh those bags and so on and so forth. You know, so you got to temper faith with wisdom. People make shipwreck of their faith all the time because they don't use wisdom. You know, we had a dear young sister years ago that lived with my wife and I when we were, you know, in Lagos many years ago before we moved to the U.S. Later on in life, she moved someplace else. And we went someplace else too. And then at some point in time, she got very ill, you know. And they stuck to their guns, which was good. I mean, if it works, they stuck to their guns that, you know, they wouldn't go and seek medical attention, you know, when she was very ill. It turned out to be a severe case of cancer, which could have been handled initially if they had dealt with it. And they didn't, because they were going to use their faith. And that's good if your faith works. But it didn't work, you know. It didn't work, sadly and unfortunately. And it did not work. And then when that thing got very, very bad and got completely out of control, then they started to, you know, look for medical help when it was far too late. You know, and I'm like, geez, if you're going to end up in the hospital, you should have gone to the hospital in the first place, you know, and then go put yourself through that, all that pain. If you're not going to go to the hospital, then believe God till the end. If he kills you, then let it kill you. That's my thing. You know, look, you know, if I'm going to stick to my guns and, you know, and then I'm going to stick to my guns. But no, why do you have to use that? Get the best of everything. Use faith, use wisdom. God's given us all these things. God's given us great doctors. You know, some of them love the Lord. Some don't. It doesn't matter. You know, God gave them that knowledge. You can take advantage of it. And some people make shipwreck because they don't know how to use their faith, you know, along with wisdom. They say, well, I'm going to believe the Lord. You know, well, yeah, absolutely. You should believe the Lord. In fact, God was angry with Asa, you know, when he was sick and sought not to the doctors, but to the physicians. So God wanted him to seek to the doctors first. I mean, to seek to the Lord first. The Lord might tell you that you should go to the doctor. He can tell you that too. You know, but he can also heal you. I believe it any which way. You know, God used the doctor to help me. So bless the Lord. You know, so, and God has given us incredible technology these days. You know, that the brother that we were just praying about, that my wife was just talking about. I mean, you know, he was in coma in the hospital. They did everything they can. Was unconscious and everything. But they went to the hospital. And the hospital figured out all the things they needed to do. And we got the information of what needed. And then we started to pray. And the Lord pulled an incredible miracle out that even doctors and everybody said they never seen anything like it. Well, yeah, sure. But the Lord would give a testimony to his own name. And the Lord did it. Brethren surrounded that hospital. They wouldn't let them go into the ICU. They prayed. We couldn't even get there, but we prayed, you know, and the Lord pulled out something incredible, you know, but they got the help they needed, you know, both physically, spiritually, and every which way, you know. So we got to balance these things. And you have someone that's sick and you believe the Lord and you pray and they are healed, or praise the Lord. You know, if your faith is not working, you know, then you better, you know, use some wisdom and get some help, you know. And using wisdom and getting some help doesn't mean you don't have faith. You know, this is where people struggle. You know, people struggle that they're trying to believe God and they think that if they use wisdom along with that then that means they're not having any faith. Not at all. You're just using wisdom. Both faith and wisdom come from God. They're not working against each other. If you use faith, praise the Lord. If you use wisdom, praise the Lord. It all comes from God. You know, and so you got to use faith and you got to use wisdom. Now, here's another scenario to consider. Now, this is another one where people struggle. If you're believing the Lord, you know, for instance, you have faith that, you know, rain's not going to bother you. Today, you're trying to step out and do something and you don't want the rain to bother you. Well, you speak the word and pray that rain, hold your peace until I'm done, and you move out. And the rain will hold its peace if you have your faith, you know. In that case, when you've already declared that there should be no rain, don't pack your umbrella, because that would be lack of faith, because you're not acting in faith along with what you already declared. So let's make sure we understand that. If you declare that there will be no rain, then when you go, don't pack an umbrella. Don't say that's wisdom. No, that's contrary, because you said there will be no rain. However, if it was already raining, it was already raining when you're about to leave, take an umbrella with you, because it's already raining and it's going to rain more. It's not every time you have to spend your spiritual capital on trying to stop the rain. What's that all about? Just take an umbrella. That's why you have an umbrella, you know. So this is how you balance things out. You know, it's raining, take an umbrella. You left, it wasn't raining, and the rain is trying to bother you, and you don't have an umbrella, then use your faith. Tell the rain to hold its peace until you get home. I've done that many times. Go out for a walk. It's beginning to rain. I didn't know it was going to rain. You know, and say, hey, look, you know, I know you want to do your thing, but I got to finish my walk. You know, hold your peace and then go home. It happens, you know. But if it was already raining and I'm out trying to go for a walk, I'm not going for that walk because it's already raining. I'm going to stay indoors, you know, or if you want to go, if you have to go, then you take an umbrella, you know. You don't always have to fight everything, you know. Choose your battles and use wisdom, you know. And you heard me tell the story also of the prayer meeting that they were having in the little parish praying for rain. They had no rain for a long time. And they got out for a prayer meeting and one boy brought an umbrella. You know, and everybody said, what you bring an umbrella for? And he said, well, we're praying for rain, aren't we? You know, so he brought an umbrella because he actually had faith. He was the only one that had faith that God was going to answer that prayer and send rain. So he brought an umbrella. You know, others didn't have faith. They were praying, but they didn't have faith. They didn't bring any umbrella. So the little boy said, well, we're praying for rain, are we not? He brought an umbrella. So you can see how you got to balance these things out. You know, and I think you get the picture. Now use wisdom. You're on the job, you know, use wisdom, get the job training. Don't just use faith. Sometimes the Lord will, you know, give you inspiration of the Almighty. I know even in technology, I've used it multiple times, but not because I didn't learn anything and just trusting inspiration of the Almighty. No, I'm already an expert in my field. Spent many years and I know a lot of things, but sometimes there's some situations that come up I may not know or may not recall exactly how to resolve it. Holy Spirit will kick in and bring it, you know, to your remembrance. Well, the Holy Spirit can't bring to your remembrance something that you don't know. Because Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance what I already told you. You know, so at one point you knew it, you know, he told it to you. You know, and then he'll bring it to your remembrance because you studied it at one time, but maybe you forgot. You know, so use your wisdom to get training, to get ahead. Use your faith to believe that God's going to bless you, the work of your hands, and use everything together. I mean, you can't wake up in the morning and spend all day praying, you know, for a job. And day after day after day, you're fasting, you're praying for a job, but you stay indoors. You're not applying for anything. You're just using your faith that you're going to get the job. How are you going to get the job when you're not even applying? Ask, seek, and knock. Sometimes you got to ask, sometimes you got to seek, sometimes you got to knock on a few doors. You know, I've known people who just pray and fast for everything. What are you fasting for when you can just go and look for something, you know? So you got to balance these things out. You cannot stay at home and fast and pray all the time and not go, you know, apply for some jobs and attend some interviews and think you're going to get a job. How are you going to get a job when you've not applied for anything? You know, so you got to use wisdom. And listen to the case of Elijah. Elijah, God told him, go to the brook, Cherith, and I'll command the ravens to feed you there. I've commanded the ravens. And so Elijah, he went, he did according to the word of the Lord. And the ravens, they brought him food morning and evening. You know, and I, you know, it came to pass that after a period of time that the brook dried up. The brook, how could in the world could the brook dry up? You know, when it was the Lord that commanded him to go there. See, that's a lesson in faith and wisdom. You know, so God told him, go to that brook. You know, he was the one that commanded for famine to come in the place. There would be no rain, you know, by the word of the Lord before whom I stand, except by my word. Okay. And God honored it. He locked up heaven, put the key in his pocket and walked away. And God told him what to do too. But after a period of time, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. He was the one that said there would be no rain. So he himself began to suffer the effect of that thing. But the Lord protected him the whole time, sent him room service twice a day to bring him food. But after some time, the brook dried up. Well, I've often asked people, why did the brook dry up? Could not the God of heaven and the God of the earth, the God of everything, the God that sent the ravens, could he not have prevented the brook from drying up? Of course he could, but he didn't. You know, so could the Lord not have abolished darkness from the beginning when he commanded the light to shine out of darkness? He could have, but he didn't. You know, so he has his reasons, you know. So he could have said, let there be light and let there be no more darkness. And if he had said that, let the darkness be no more, there would have been no more darkness till this day. But he didn't. He commanded the light to shine out darkness, but he left the darkness in place. You know, so you're always going to have darkness. You're always going to have light because he left it in place. You know, so when the brook dried up, the Lord told him, well, you know, it's time for you to move. And there are some people today, their brook is dry and they're still there praying and commanding the brook to come back to life. The brook is dry, you know, it's dry. And the Lord had a reason for allowing the brook to dry. He was going to, you know, get two for one. You know, he was going to solve the problem of a widow and solve the problem of Elijah too. But Elijah didn't know it, neither did the widow know it, but the Lord knew it. And so if it was you and I today, when the brook dried up, we would be there speaking in tongues over that brook, binding that brook, binding the spirit that's in that brook, commanding the you know, the thing. You cannot be dry because the Lord sent me here. Well, it is dry. So it is dry, you know, and so there is a time for everything. There was a time that the word of the Lord came to you and said, go to the brook. There's a time now that the Lord says, your brook is dry. And if you don't know, if you don't have wisdom and discernment to understand the difference, you'll be there praying and wasting your prayers. The brook is already dry. It's time for you to move on. You know, but, you know, be there praying, you know. So now that's not for every situation. Don't let the devil tell you, you know, that's regarding your marriage that's in trouble. No, that's not for that. Don't let the devil, interpret something into your mind that I'm not saying, you know. I'm not saying that at all. You know, that's not that, because I just discerned that. So I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that, you know, the brook may be dry. And if indeed the brook is dry and the Lord wants you to move on, then you got to move on. You know, and move on to what the Lord is showing. And God doesn't have the same answer for every situation, the same time after time, and time after time, and time after time, the same thing. You know, let me tell you one thing today, tell you a different thing tomorrow. That's what people make shipwreck when they don't understand that. You know, Lord may tell you, David asked the Lord, should I go up? And the Lord said, go up. And he will go up. And the next time he asked the Lord, should I go up? And the Lord said, no, don't go up. He might have just assumed that since the Lord said go up the last time, then it means go up again this time. You know, I'm not stopping to give you all the scriptures today because I'm just talking, you know, but, you know, you will find out that, you know, it doesn't work like that. You got to ask the Lord for fresh instruction each time. That's wisdom. Wisdom will direct you to come back to the Lord for instruction each time. That's wisdom. Reckless and shipwrecked faith will just tell you something else. You know, God said that last time, so that's what he will say again this time. Of course not. You know, God's not a one-way traffic. You know, you can change directions. you know, and give you instruction for now. So you got to get today's instruction for the present conflict. And don't think that that's the same as what he said yesterday necessarily. It could be, and it could not be. You know, you gotta trust the Lord. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. You know, not bread for 1 year or bread forever. You know, every day it's called daily bread. It's called daily dependency on the Lord. You gotta have daily contact with the Lord. You know, God's not going to just give you everything forever so you never have to come back to him. That never works like that. You know, so give you daily, your daily bread, your daily wisdom, your daily strength, you know, and so forth. Tomorrow you come back for some more, you know, and he'll guide you, give you fresh instruction for the day. You know, not instruction for yesterday. That may not work today. And if you don't have wisdom, you'll just be using your faith in the wrong direction. You know, so these lessons about wisdom and faith, they're so important. We got to put them together and balance them together. Now, what does balancing faith and wisdom really mean? Well, it's all that I've been saying all along. Some person may say that, well, you know, if you believe God, you just, you know, don't need wisdom. You just need faith. Well, some person would say, well, wisdom is the principal thing. You don't need faith. Well, both of those people don't have it together. You know, everything that God gives, we need, and even more. You know, you can't, you know, have faith and not have wisdom. You can't have wisdom and not have faith. And so all the other things that God gives as well, I just chose these two because people have always thought that, well, you know, one is, you know, contrary to the other. Not at all. One complements the other. You know, so wisdom will direct you back to faith. That's right. You know, so, you know, if you want to use real wisdom, you say you have real wisdom, wisdom will instruct you back into faith. And even real faith will instruct you into wisdom sometimes. You know, so they walk hand in hand. And just remember that what the Holy Spirit brings and gives you can give you an advantage if you understand how these things work. If you don't understand how these things work, that's why some people's prayers are not answered, because they're not using wisdom. Some people think that their prayer is not answered because they don't have faith. Just because James said, well, you ask and you receive not because you don't have faith, you know. Or sometimes you ask amiss, you know. It's not just faith. If you ask and you don't receive because you don't have faith, well, you may also not receive because you don't ask right. That's wisdom. If you don't ask right, if you ask amiss, that means you didn't use wisdom. And sometimes when we don't use wisdom for our things, then we suffer loss. And then it's like we put money in a bag of holes. You know, and you have a lot of faith and God is blessing you, but you don't use wisdom, your bag will leak. And all that blessing, you're going to spend it on something you shouldn't have. So you got to use wisdom. Same thing with your health. You have faith for divine health. You can even have faith for divine healing, you know, and all of that. But, you know, you got to use wisdom sometimes too. That's the way I say it. If you have real faith, God will pull you out of any pit. I don't care, you know, what pit you fall into. Your faith will pull you out of it if you know how to believe God. He'll do it too. Because, you know, our God is a present, very present help in trouble. You fall into any trouble, you have real faith, you call upon the Lord, he'll pull you out of it. And I know he will. And he's done it multiple times. However, if you use wisdom in the first place, you might have avoided falling into that pit in the first place. And, you know, save yourself a lot of trouble. Because, you know, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Wisdom would have told you, don't go there. You fall into that pit. And you don't, you know, then you fall into the pit. Then you begin to cry. Well, faith will pull you out of there. But you could have avoided falling into the pit in the first place if you had using wisdom. So this is how it works. I know we spent the last 2 weeks building up our faith, you know, and so that was why I wanted to bring this in to bring a complement of how it works. Faith is a great thing. It's one of the greatest assets that you can have. That's going to get you out of here. Because by faith is how we're going to get translated, just like Enoch. But along the way, you're going to suffer a lot of losses if you don't use wisdom. Faith is what you really need to get you into the translation. But wisdom is what's going to help you along the way that you don't get discouraged. If you don't use wisdom, you get hurt so many different times. You know, the sheep that wanders from the flock because of lack of wisdom to stay in the pack, you know, the shepherd will eventually find that sheep and bring him back. But in the meantime, you're going to suffer a lot of problems before the shepherd finds them to bring them back. They would have had wisdom, stayed with the pack in the first place. You know, they could have avoided a lot of hurt. You know, so there's a lot of things that we can avoid if we use wisdom. So we're going to pray in the room today that the Lord will help us to use wisdom to avoid many pitfalls, you know, and so forth, you know. And one time, you know, Paul said, well, you know, there will be no loss of life, but these must stay in the ship. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You jump ship, you can't be saved. You got to stay in the ship. Now that's, the Lord gave him instruction and he had an advantage. So the angel of the Lord stood by him by night and said, well, you know, I'm going to give you all the lives in this ship. They're not good. None of them will be lost, but guess what they must do? You know, so the Lord will put the wisdom there. And so he told them, you know, I know none of your lives will be lost. Now that's faith, but the Lord told him, but here is what you must do. That's wisdom. So the Lord will give you the faith. The Lord will also give you wisdom. All these good things come from him. Wisdom comes from him. Faith comes from him. Use them together to get the best out of everything. Use your faith, use your wisdom, not one or the other. At the same time that you're using faith, use wisdom. Here's what the Lord says. Except the Lord watch over the house, you know, the watchmen stay awake, but in vain. Well, but still he must watch. Because the Lord said, except the good man, I mean, if the good man had watched, his house would not have been broken up. So you can say, well, you know, the Lord's going to watch my house, so I don't need any wisdom. Well, you'll be wrong. Because Jesus also said the good man should watch and his house would not be broken up. So how does the good man watch in these days? You put security in your house. Because that's technology that we have now. You put it in your house. Don't say, well, I'm on half faith. The angel of the Lord will be by my house. Well, sure. The angel of the Lord will be there. But technology will be there as well. Use them both. Hallelujah. But if you don't know and you say, well, you know, I don't need technology. All I need is the angel of the Lord. Well, maybe you don't need a car. Maybe all you need is supernatural transportation. Why you drive a car for? Why don't you have faith? Anytime you want to go to work, just believe God, close your eyes and boom, you're there. Well, that will happen sometime, maybe in the millennium. I don't know. Maybe sometime later on. I don't know. But right now, you don't have it. There's none of you in this room that can every day get up right now and get to work by just thinking it and be right there. You get up, you get in your car, you drive. That's how you go. If you don't have a car, you go take the bus or the train. That's how you do it. You're not going to sit down, just pray, and then boom, you land at work. No, you know. So let's apply the same wisdom to everything. You know, don't say, well, I got faith, you know, so I don't need to lock my doors at night. Well, your house will be broken into. You have faith, but you lock your door securely. You lock. And in Nigeria, you not only have one lock, you have double locks and gates and everything on every door. You know, so, you know, you have faith. You use wisdom as well. You know, so wisdom will tell you, put security lights up. You know, your the place around your house is too dark. Well, faith will tell you, you know, you've done all of that, but it's still the Lord that will keep your house. Yeah. And so you use both of them. You do all of that, and then you still believe that God's going to keep your house. That's how it works. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I can go on and on and on, but you get the point. Every aspect of life requires both faith and wisdom. You use your faith, but then you also use wisdom. You know, you have, you know, God has blessed you, right? And you need, you know, and faith is bringing blessing, but you need wisdom to know what to do with that money, what investments to make. You know, some people have gone into some investments and they lost everything. You know, because there was no wisdom there. You know, so, you know, you got to have the best of both. Put it all together. So this is my lesson today. So our lesson today is faith and wisdom. They walk hand in hand. Whereas it is impossible to please the Lord without faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Well, the scripture also says, according to Proverbs 4 and 7, that principle, wisdom is the principal thing. So if one thing, if you can't get anything from the Lord without one thing, and you can't get ahead without having the other thing, then you need to use both of them. And if you know how to use your faith and wisdom, you will come out ahead all the time. And here's real wisdom. Real wisdom will tell you that whatever you've gone through, even when there appears to be losses, it's just knowledge that you've gained. This is the way I approach life, and this is what I teach in the Wisdom Series. Don't consider, you know, some setback as a failure. Or, you know, you may instead consider it as knowledge gained. Now you've learned that that doesn't work. Whatever you did doesn't work. Now do it some other way. That's wisdom. It doesn't mean it's a failure. It just means that doesn't work. You know, so I've learned something. You know, I don't fail at anything. You know, I don't. Because, you know, even if it didn't work, I learned something. I learned that that doesn't work. So that's not failure. If you take it like that, you use it, you know how to curate the things around yourself that way. So you're like, well, it wasn't really failure. It was just knowledge gained. Now I know that doesn't work. I know I've got to try something else. You know, so you use the two of them to get ahead in life. Now I'm going to pray for us. And the Lord give you understanding about these things. And you got to walk on both. You got to develop your faith. We've been talking about how to develop your faith. Well, you got to develop your faith. You also got to develop your wisdom. You know, if you have never heard it, I'm not going to teach it again at this time. If you've never heard it, you can also request it. Make sure you hear my teaching on the Wisdom Series. First, the seven attributes of wisdom. Show you that it's not carnal wisdom we're talking about. And then the pillars of wisdom. Some of you have heard it more than once. And some people said it changed their lives. You got to hear those lessons and you got to know how to use them. You know, so know how to use your faith. That's wisdom. Know when it is time to pray versus when it is time to act. That's also wisdom. And know when it is time to do both. That's also wisdom. You know, you can't have wisdom and then don't have faith. You know, that will be fleshly wisdom. Sensual wisdom, it's actually called devilish, you know, if you read the book of James. But when you have the right kind of wisdom to help you to direct your faith in the correct and proper channels. And it'll come out for the best results. You know, hallelujah. You can't say I have faith when, you know, someone is trying to kill you and you walk straight into the death trap. And that's not faith. You know, wisdom will tell you to hide yourself from the evil. That's right. You protect yourself. When Jesus used wisdom many times, the Bible said that Jesus did not openly show himself among the Jews because he knew they were trying to kill him. That was wisdom. He used wisdom to avoid certain things. That was wisdom. You know, God used wisdom to protect the life of the little child Jesus when Herod was trying to kill all the babies. He told Joseph, you know, by wisdom at night, take the baby and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. For there are those that seek the life of the child to destroy it. That's wisdom. You know, Joseph could have stayed there and used faith. You know, I say, well, you know, by faith, you know, we'll be safe. No, God said, run away, you know. So you got to use wisdom, you know. Of course, there was a reason for that because there must be a prophecy be fulfilled. According to Hosea 11 and 2, out of Egypt have I called my son. That had to be fulfilled, you know. But it was a dual prophecy that had to be fulfilled in the life of Christ. So we know that. But still, it was wisdom. It was wisdom that protected the child from being killed. You know, can't just say you have faith. There's times for faith, there's times for wisdom, there's time for both. Put it all together. comes out beautifully. Now I'm going to pray. I see we're at the bottom of the second hour. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. We thank you for this deep, deep, deep subject of faith and wisdom when put together. And we know that these things both come from you. Wisdom that is from above is pure, the Bible says. You know, and it's really beautiful. And I know I gave a memory verse many, many months ago to people that were in the room at the time. James chapter 1. You know, James chapter 3. We studied the, when we're studying the book of, the book of James for wisdom. You know, so wisdom, James chapter 3 and verse 17. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You know, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So wisdom, I pray, Lord, for the wisdom that's from above, which is first pure, not the kind of sensual wisdom. You know, it talks about wisdom that is earthly, that is sensual and devilish. We don't want that. You can read that in verse 15 of the same chapter. But we want the wisdom that is pure, the one that's from above. We want also faith for crisis. We want faith for everyday living. We want even faith to develop our faith for translation. We want to use these two together. Father, help everyone that's listening to this today, or may listen later on, to know how to bring our faith and wisdom together. The Bible calls Christ the power and wisdom of God. That's right. You know. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.